Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Homeschool father of five, raising our children out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. A safe distance from the demise of Western civilization, but none too safe. Friends, the homeschool environment cannot be the absolutely safe environment in which we protect our children from what's happening out there. It is not a panacea. And that's a point we want to make today on the broadcast as we interact with what's going on with the world around us. And, of course, with the attacks that characteristically come against home education. Dave Buhner also in studio with me, Dave. And one thing I've been talking about off air with you is I am particularly disturbed with what's going on in with this homeschool murder up in Burlington, Colorado. Not to say we know who the murderer is. The suspect is a 12-year-old boy, the son of these parents who had seven children and had homeschooled them up in Burlington, which is out on the eastern plains, way out on the eastern plains of Colorado towards Kansas. Friends, I have really been disturbed with what happened some 2 weeks ago, where these two parents were shot down and several of the children were cut up by a knife. And again, the suspect is a 12-year-old homeschooled child from Burlington, Colorado. Dave, a shocking, shocking story. Here's a family who were active in the church. The father was an elder at the EV Free Church in Burlington, and the children have been homeschooled their whole lives. A shocking, shocking story. Now, granted, there are 300 parricides, roughly. That is 300 murders of parents in this country in any given year, according to an article here I'm reading, quoting from criminologist Kathleen Heide, who's written a book called Why Kids Kill Parents, Child Abuse and Adolescent Homicide. But, Dave, this is a possible parricide. And it's a shame that this kind of thing happens. It certainly has given fodder to the liberal media. Huffington Post has picked it up a number of times. It's been in the media again and again, day after day. It's got some sticking power to it for a lot of reasons. One is it's a brutal, terrible, terrible murder. Secondly, it happened among a homeschool family in a remote area of Colorado. And this is not the first time that a homeschooled kid's been accused of murder. We have a young man, Matthew Murray, about 3-4 years ago, you may remember, who murdered a number of people in various ministries up and down the eastern range here, and he eventually, I believe, was shot at the New Life Church in Colorado Springs towards the end of his killing spree. Again, raised by a homeschooling mother and father who were committed to the ATI Bill Gothard curriculum, and he imploded big time. A lot of that was connected to his listening to very, very raunchy, horrible, horrible rock and roll music. He was an advocate of Marilyn Manson, a terrible, terrible, ungodly form of music. And he also, before he killed, he had cursed his parents in some of the most vile language I think I've ever seen, and it was posted on the internet. So there was certainly issues that surrounded that, and there were signals. No question there were signals. And, Dave, as point we made last time, when a son attacks his parents, it's not long before he's out murdering others. So this idea of parricide is a vile, horrible thing. And, Dave, I think we have to condemn it on the air if it's happening anywhere in the state of Colorado, even if it's happening among Christians or among homeschoolers. And, Dave, this is a shameful thing when Christians, when homeschoolers are doing the same sorts of things, whether it be murder, whether it be ungodly divorces, whether it be fornication, when they're engaged in what the world is engaged in, this is a mark on Christianity. If there are Christian families out there associated with Christian ministries or Christian churches and their children are murdering people, this is a mark on the Christian faith. There's no question in my mind about that. And the ungodly have some purpose now, some reason to attack Christians and Christian home educators when this kind of thing happens among homeschoolers. That's why I'm so bothered this morning.
Well, Kevin, we're bothered because this is gross sin. I mean, this is the most vile form of sin. And we need to condemn it as sin. You know, I'm not sure of all the psychological reasons. There may or may not have been demonic influence. I can't say that. I'm not an expert in that sort of thing, but B, I don't have the facts. But what I do have the facts is that some gross sin happened. And when a son rebels against his father, that's bad. When a son strikes his father, that's a capital crime. Now, could we say that the father wasn't doing something right here or there? Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. As a father, I'm sure I'm not doing everything right. In fact, I know I'm not doing everything right. There's things that are being left undone that I should be doing. There's things that I'm doing that should be left undone. But what we say at the end of the day is this is sin. We need to pursue lives of holiness. We need to pursue holiness in our parenting. We need our children to have a passion for holiness, because without holiness, we're not going to see God anyway. We need to be able to define clearly the antithesis, that which is profane, to that which is holy, and say there is no ground which is neutral. Our music is not neutral. Our television habits are not neutral. The web pages we visit are not neutral. There is nothing neutral. And if we are not going to declare the crown rights of Christ over that area, then we ought not be participating in it.
Now, Dave, I've had a chance to research some of the players in this home, some of the players in relation to the Burlington murders, and one of the quotes, I'm not going to even say who it was, but one of the quotes from the blog that I read indicated that it didn't matter how much you control concerning your children's inputs. And he's talking about Barbie dolls and movies and that sort of thing. And the idea was that it's not important that you control some of these inputs. Your children can take whatever they want, and Christian parents don't need to be so protective and defensive of their children. And this, again, was somebody writing in relation to the Burlington murders and before the murders occurred. And, Dave, again, I think your point is exactly right on. The world around us is affecting our children. And if we open up those gates, if we allow them on the Internet, and here's a story right here about children under 5 using the Internet, 80% of children under age 5 use the Internet weekly, according to these statistics. And if our children are on the Internet as early as 5 years of age, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and they're getting some kind of inputs, and by the way, the world is not all that friendly towards the law of God and towards the honor of parents, if they're getting certain music forms, they're watching certain movies that question the honor of mother and father, no question in my mind that they're going to participate in the sorts of things the world participates in, whether it be parricide, whether it be the murder of parents, or any other violation of God's fifth commandment.
Well, Kevin, we are not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And so what is a work of darkness? Well, a work of darkness is that which is unfruitful, at least into producing things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We are not to have fellowship. Rather, we are to reprove them. So if your children are not in an age where they can analyze something and say, that needs to be reproved, and to reprove it, then we ought not be tempting them into the very sins that could take them. I think that we wouldn't put poisons out in front on the dinner table and say, well, you know, the kid's just going to drink what he's going to drink. And, you know, if he takes the cyanide, so be it. Don't worry so much about the cyanide.
And that's effectively what this blog was saying. Again, this blog in relation to the family in Burlington that suffered these horrible, horrible consequences. The idea of the blog was, it doesn't matter. The world is not that dangerous. I mean, come on. There are these influences, but our children don't need to be bothered by them, and they certainly don't need to be affected by them, and we can just allow these influences into our children's lives anytime we want to. And that was effectively what this blog said. And it was very dangerous, the sorts of things that were being said on this blog. And I was thinking, if that's the way these families run their lives, they're going to be in trouble. And Dave, again, we don't live in a safe world. It's a dangerous world out there. And the kind of influences upon our children can be deadly, can be horrific, because the world out there is no friend to grace to help us on to God. And yes, we must fight the good fight. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed to bloody seas? Of course, we are soldiers of the cross. And we've got to understand that there is a battle going on. We have to equip our children for this battle and certainly not give them ungodly influences that might corrupt them over the years. Now, a lot of us are going to try to identify causality. We want to solve the problem in these situations. Dave, I think that's appropriate. I think it's right when we note that somebody in our homeschool support group, somebody in our town, whether we live in Burlington or somewhere else, or somebody in our state, has been murdered, cruelly murdered, and shot down in the prime of their life. I think we ought to be concerned about that as a society. Now, the liberals have their own agenda, and they think it has something to do with repressive homeschool families that are protecting their children from all this evil in the world. That's the theory coming down on from Huffington Post and others that are blogging or commenting on the Burlington murders. But I'm not saying that at all. I think the problem is nurture and nature. It's both, and I think it's appropriate that we look at both. Certainly, this young man may have had, he may have had an anger problem. And again, anger is a huge problem. It's very dangerous. You got an angry son on your hands, and that anger is allowed allowed to go unchecked year after year after year after year, it can explode into some of the most destructive things that human beings have ever seen. Anger is as an angry man is as a broken down city, as the walls that are broken down, and you're given to all kinds of violence, you're given to all kinds of destruction, you're given to, you know, an attack from some horrific influences if the spirit of a man is angry. It's a very dangerous thing, and that, of course, comes from the book of Proverbs. I just recently wrote a family Bible study guide on that particular verse, so it's fresh in my mind. But, Dave, anger is a huge problem. And again, we've got young men with anger issues, and it's a huge problem. That's also one reason why I recommend the book The Heart of Anger by Lou Priolo, one of the most important books, I think, in the present age. Lou Priolo's book, Heart of Anger, deals directly with a very, very, very dangerous thing that lurks in the hearts of many, many fathers. And a lot of times that's transferred into the life of sons as well. And then it becomes increasingly dangerous with each generation.
Well, Kevin, I think there's a few things that we can say for certain. One is when a young man shoots his mother and father, he's not doing it in the fear of the Lord.
No.
He hasn't learned the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
He does not fear the Lord. He doesn't fear his father either.
Suddenly he's turned himself into a god, and he's going to take justice into his own hands or whatever it is. And he is going to do whatever he wants to do and violate God's law in the process. He's ignoring God at that point. There's no question, Dave. He's ignoring God. God is not a factor in that 12-year-old life or that Matthew Murray's life as he's taking the lives of others.
And I believe what we can learn from this is that if we start with spelling or even Bible, and we're not teaching it in the fear of the Lord, we have not begun to gain wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So even as we approach the message of Jesus, you know, if you put the VeggieTale thing in there and they learn all about Jesus, but they don't fear the Lord, they haven't even begun to acquire wisdom. We have to renew our commitment that the holy God that is one that must be feared. If we're not teaching that to our children, we're teaching them that God isn't something to be feared. In other words, if you're not teaching the fear of God, you're teaching them not to be afraid.
Nature and nurture, friends, causality in some of these destructive acts that we see almost every day in the newspapers or on FoxNews.com. Friends, here's a story again from Kathleen Heide's book, Why Kids Kill Parents, Child Abuse and Adolescent Homicide. She's apparently studied hundreds and hundreds of these cases, and she talks about power imbalances, abuse, and despair. And Dave, I think occasionally you have psychiatrists who observe some things that may exist in the lives of children. Oftentimes, they are abused. Oftentimes, the sins of the parents do affect the children to the third and fourth generations. So something that God promises in the Ten Commandments. So no question that abuse on the parts of parents often play into the lives of children. Despair. Sometimes these children are very suicidal. Sometimes they're very depressed. Sometimes they don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They don't have that hope, and they're not living in that hope every single day. Dave, I think it's time for a lot of churches to really emphasize the importance of living out the faith and the hope that we have. We can't just be saying these things. Either we wake up on Monday morning and we live in the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we will be out of this mess, and we will be out of this horrible, horrible world of sin and despair and death, or we don't believe that. There's a point at which parents must convey a hope to their children. That's very, very basic. This Dr. Heide also covers physical, sexual, verbal, psychological, emotional abuse, and physical and medical abuse, emotional neglect, emotional incest, being a child of emotional abuse and neglect, a largely emotional absent father, a very controlling mother, apparently unable to provide praise or physical affection, but very ready with the "why do you do this to me" criticism. And so she goes on, she says, these sorts of things really do affect children, and I think they do. I think they do. When there is abuse on the part of parents, and she brings up the issue of narcissism. She says narcissism is very, very destructive, incredibly destructive. When you have narcissistic parents and narcissistic children, oftentimes these things get worse with each additional generation. The story goes on to say, depressingly, there's evidence that narcissism is increasing and empathy decreasing, at least in the United States. Boy, is that true, Dave? Narcissism increasing, empathy for others decreasing in the United States among parents. Dave, I've seen this. I see that parents have less and less empathy for children. They're more and more narcissistic. I see that with children today. when they get their iPods, the All About Me pod, they get their own entertainment, they live their lives for themselves. I tell you what, does that describe the age in which we live? Absolutely. It surprises me we don't see more murders.
Well, we live in a rage of radical individualism where parents and the children have the different rooms, different TVs, different meal times. They rarely interact except maybe a text message here or there. So yes, we live in an age in which the covenantal unit of the family has been grossly divided. So the murder of a parent is not any more egregious in the mind of somebody, a murder of somebody else who's annoying you. In fact, the parents are seen as the tyrants often, and often parents act a little tyrannical. That is, they don't respect liberty and individuality as it develops. But Kevin, you start talking about psychiatrists here, and my mind always flashes back. The psychiatrists in the Bible are called pastors. That is, those who care for the soul, the word psyche there, psuche in the Greek, soul, the shepherd of souls. Where are the shepherds of souls? Mm-hmm. Where are the elders and the pastors? If there's abuse going on, do the elders know? Or what are the elders doing? Are they just balancing the budget? And as an elder, I say, I'm not always sure what's happening inside these homes, but I am renewed in my conviction that I need to speak with children and parents and be in homes more and more, because the shepherds of souls are the ones, not those who went and studied Freud and Skinner, but those who studied the epistles of Paul and studied the Old Testament, who are appointed by God to shepherd the souls. These are the ones that need to be reengaged here. These are the ones that need to be watching out for the flock, because the wolves can come from within or they can come without.
We live in a dangerous world, friends, and I hope that elders, pastors are on their game. We're to be watchful. We're to be sober. We're to be looking out for the souls of our people. And Dave, again, I'm afraid that the Church of Jesus Christ really has very little difference with what's going on in the world around. There's very, very little difference between the Church and the world around us, because the Church is lost its savor, and we're not seeking holiness. We're not seeking to be apart from the world. Rather, we're trying to be relevant. We're trying to do the seeker-friendly thing. We're trying to do this or that or the other. And they're not preaching, and they're not holding people accountable to the principles of God's Word in relational discipleship. And that's a huge problem for the Church of Jesus Christ. We have got to have an influence on the world around us and not look like the world around us. And this, I think, is my most significant concern with the what's going on in these Christian families. And again, I've come up with several examples, friends, of some terrible, devastating things that are happening. I think it's a mark of the breakdown of morality, certainly, but also faith, church leadership, and the family in the present age. In just a moment, we're going to bring up another issue, but before we put that to rest, Dave, I think we need to just take a moment and pray for these families, especially the family up in Burlington that's been going through this terrible, terrible tragedy. Heavenly Father, these are horrific days, where you are showing us in no uncertain terms that we are falling far short of your expectations. And we are living in a sin-cursed world where these things are happening. They are just the tip of an iceberg of more dreadful, horrible things happening in our society, with the breakdown of the honor of parents and the breakdown of parent-child relationships, abuse, narcissism, anger. All these sins are indicative everywhere. Father, they lurk in our hearts as well. We ask, O God, that you would deliver us. We pray that you would build up the Church of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would comfort this family out in Burlington and their relatives and those that have had to suffer through these consequences. Father, they're not alone in this world. We all are suffering from the consequences of sin and our own sin. We pray, Father, for repentance. We pray for it on an individual basis. We pray for it on a social basis, on a community basis. We pray that we would come back to your word, that we would begin to fear you, to walk in your fear, to embrace your fear, to teach our children in the fear of God, and to accept, O God, the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Jesus, by his blood and by his resurrection, will overcome this sin-cursed world. Help us to hold to that this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence? Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. Dave Buhner also in studio with me. And here is an interesting story from WorldNet Daily concerning what's happening in Germany. And we have been chronicling this for the last 8 years since we've been on the air, friends, constantly coming back to the persecution happening for the 5, 6, 10 families that still hold to the Christian faith in Germany. That's right. German families have been persecuted over a long period of time. Remember the 16-year-old girl, 15-year-old girl that was taken away from her parents. She, on her 16th birthday, crawled out of a window, escaped, and came back to her family. There's amazing stories of things happening in Germany where homeschool families are trying to keep their children out of these sex-saturated humanist schools where the fear of God is not taught as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Thankfully, there are some families hanging on to the faith. That is believing that they have more of a responsibility to Deuteronomy 6-7 than some evangelical pastor that says every little teeny 7, 8, 9-year-old has to be a missionary and evangelist in the world. And that's not in the Bible, by the way. Deuteronomy 6-7, Ephesians 6-4 is in the Bible, and there are still a few Christian parents taking that seriously. Thanks be to God. There's still some Christian faith left in places like Germany, but here, Dave, sadly, we have a mom and two fathers serving a 6-week prison terms for opposing explicit sex ed. Evidently, in this case, they did not take their kids out of the school. They just tried to exempt them from the 4 days of what they call sex training. That's scary to think of what it would be to send your kid to a sex training class. I mean, imagine, Dave, getting a postcard in the mail saying, you've got to enroll your kid in a sex training class, includes theater. I don't even want to think of what's involved here. The parents being convinced that they were within their legal and moral rights to protect their children against sexual abuse, removed their 4 children from the offending theater production and accompanying lessons. I hate to think of what the laboratory experience was like in Germany for sex ed. The sex philosophy was, if it feels good, do it. That's the sex philosophy of the German sex ed schools. And evidently, some Christians, there are a total of 6 families in all of Germany who are exempting their kids from this. 6 families, 6 Christian families left in Germany. Praise be to God. There's still some faith in Germany. I know that Christians don't like being persecuted. You know, persecuted for righteousness' sake, that kind of thing. Very, very few Christians in the West want to be persecuted. I mean, nobody really wants to be pinched a tiny little bit for the faith. You know, let me pinch you, Dave. Very few Christians want that. I mean, that's just really, really hard. But in this case, they're sent to prison because they exempted their kids from this mandatory sex ed class. It's the Weens family, Arthur Weens, Edward Weens, fathers who also objected to the state's explicit curriculum choices for their children, were ordered to jail for 6-week terms. Incredible what's going on there. The stage play, My Body is Mine, has interactive programs. Interactive programs. I hate to think what the interactive programs are in the sex ed class in Germany, friends. I'm not filling in any of the details here. I'm just saying if it feels good, do it. If it feels good to have incestuous relationships, do it. If it feels good to rape, do it. That's pretty much the philosophy today. Your body is yours. You do whatever you want with it to whoever you want. Remember, you're the center of your universe. It's existentialism. It's narcissism. Hell is other people. John Paul Sartre taught us that back in the 40s and 50s. And ever since, Margaret Sanger and all her friends have been training the rest of us in how to live a self-centered, all about me, and me life, and it's taught in German sex ed classes, and it's then existentialism and self-centered approach to a social framework is taught everywhere, Dave. I mean, that's the way children are taught in public schools. They're not taught to fear God and to serve Jesus Christ.
Kevin,
they're told to live for themselves.
Kevin, let's be clear. they're not teaching children about the facts of sex. They're not even teaching them how to be better lovers one day when they're married. They are purposely teaching them fornication and adultery.
Yeah.
And this is not about sex. This is about immorality.
And maybe if they become good self-centered narcissists, they can grow up and kill their parents and cut up their little brothers and sisters in the years to come. That's the goal here, friends.
Right.
Just remember, you're not taught the fear of God, and you're taught that you're the center of your universe, which is pretty much what our culture teaches us and our social systems teach us. Then we're going to wind up doing what a lot of these kids are doing in the parasite cases we've been discussing.
Right. Let's be clear. Sex is a gift from God. It is beautiful in its right use. But this is not what the school is teaching. What the school is teaching is perverting that use, taking something that God has given as good and making it very, very evil in destroying a society. And when parents object to that on the grounds of some kind of righteousness, they're going to be persecuted. Now, this is nothing new. Anytime man has ever stood for righteousness in the face of people who are hell-bent, literally hell-bent on wickedness, those who are hell-bent on the wickedness will have to persecute the righteous in order that they might have complete liberty to their sins.
And Dave, I understand why parents are doing this in Germany and America. I mean, there are some people with faith saying 95% of our people, Americans, who confess to premarital sex on their marriage day is not a good thing. 41% of kids born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960, thanks to the free sex ed classes taught over 40 years. They're making progress, friends. A few parents are saying, hey, we're pulling our kids out of that mess, and we're going to try something different here. We're going to try to restore a little morality, a little bit of a functional family for the year 2018. Friends, there are some families who are reacting to the total devastation of Western civilization, and they will be persecuted for it. They will be persecuted for it, including ourselves, is my best guess. At least that's what Mike Ferris is telling us from HSLDA. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're clean out of time, and we have been discussing some rather tough issues today on the Generations Radio broadcast. But as we end the program, let me say this. Teach your children the Word of God. Set them down. Teach them the rock-solid foundations of the Word of God, beginning in the book of Proverbs, with the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. I would encourage you to get our family Bible study guides on the book of Proverbs. They're coming out one by one, and we will have the last one out here in a few months. I would encourage you to avail yourself to some of these resources available at generationswithvision.com or kevinswanson.com. And that's where you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world. Get your friends and family members all around the world, including Germany, to listen to us at kevinswanson.com. We have 80 countries tuning into us. And friends, I don't think there's a whole lot out there that competes with what we talk about on the program. So we encourage you to spread the word about the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.